Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? Ah, that's what I love to hear. That's what I love to hear. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? It was Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. We were blessed. We were blessed. We had our Pastor Ed was back in the house. Our Pastor Charlotte was back in the house. And we had our Minister AJ all joining us yesterday to talk about some stuff. Yes. I mean, we really, Pastor Ed, you know, how blessed are we? He comes back already locked and loaded and talking about church folk. As always, that's our conversation for Tuesdays. And we talked about, let's see, we've addressed these busybodies before. We really have. We've addressed the busybodies before. And, you know, he asked the question, why when we see people are going through something, you know, and at times are hard and maybe they didn't lost their job or, you know, now they really don't have much food to eat, why do we declare that they're being punished for something? I don't know. Well, again, it's the busybody syndrome. You know, you're so busy paying attention to what's going on in everybody else's life that you're really not thinking correctly. You're really not thinking fully. You know, you really don't understand this thing called a walk in the Lord. Yes. Because, you know, as we examined, this issue yesterday, there are going to be some times when, yes, we do some things and we're going to have to really pay the piper. You know, we're going to have to deal with the consequences of our actions. And that may come with, you know, hey, you lost that job, or, you know, the husband or the wife ain't acting right. You know, because God has to sometimes tap you where it really hurts in order to get your attention. Let's talk about that for a minute. Yeah. You know, I found that, you know, when God is punishing us for stuff, sometimes it goes right over our head. Right over our head. You know, people have become so accustomed to living beneath the radar. Yeah, they forget that, you know, God has a wonderful life, you know, planned for us. And sometimes when, you know, we've been socked by God and he says, okay, you know what? You're not going to get that so-and-so that you asked before, or I'm just going to hold back, or I'm not listening to you right now because of something that you did. Yeah, you know, he has to now, because we're so unaffected, he has to now tap something or someone real close to us so we can finally wake up and get the message. Yes, God will do that. Don't be talking about, no, not your God. Yes, your God. You know, sometimes he has to touch. You know, his word says, you know, your children and your children's children. And, you know, he's got to make sure that he, you know, he taps that shoulder just a little bit harder. And it ain't going to be to wake you up from sleep. It's going to be to wake you up into realizing what you're doing ain't really what you're supposed to be doing. Okay? So, you know, we got to make sure that when God is trying to get our attention, that he does. Because we don't really want him to have to push the envelope and really get that attention. Okay? So, the other side to this thing is, it just may be some trials and tribulations that we just have to go through on this journey. Yes. And we didn't do anything. You know, just like I believe it was Minister AJ quoted yesterday, you know, it's the story of, you know, somebody who was going through a little bit something and everybody was wondering, well, you know, must have done this or must have done that. And I was like, no. Wasn't the mama, wasn't the father. You know, no, nobody did anything. This is just part of the journey. And you know, and I mentioned yesterday that we have to be real careful in when we say that. You know, we can't even say all the time, well, God caused this. No, no, we don't know the mind of God. We don't have any idea unless God deals with us and says, well, you know what, you're going through this, you know, because I've gotten that kind of message. You know, you're going through this because, you know, for the greater good. You know, he needs to use you maybe to show someone else what it is to really get themselves together. You know, and it helps you as well. Because, you know, do you remember when you said to God, here I am, send me? Oh, you got to be careful. Okay, be very careful as to how you word this, okay, because it may not be, you know, God's intent, you know, he's going to put it out there for you, but it may also be his generic allowance, because he needs to fine-tune you, to bring you through, you know, hey, be careful. So you don't want to get all this stuff mixed up. Now think about all the stuff I just got finished saying. Just think about it. That's why we need to keep our mouths shut. Yes, we can't speak into anybody else's life that we don't know. Now there are some times where God will deal with you for an individual. You know, we talked about that yesterday as well. As leaders, you know, underneath that banner of being a leader, he will give you information for those who he's given charge, you know, he's given you charge over their lives. He may have to speak to you about this particular situation. So you do know a little bit more than the average individual about this situation. And we talked yesterday. Yes, we see we have to do this recap because just in case you didn't listen or you did listen and you forgot. If you go to church and you're sitting underneath the leader, please don't dismiss what they say. No, because God is using them for your life. You know, we talked about that yesterday. Sometimes pride is in the way and you're not trying to hear what's going on. You know, you don't want to be told anything because you don't want to have to really face the music. You really don't want to have to face the hard reality sometimes. And don't be foolish, people. Come on, people. Don't do it to yourself, okay? We got to make sure that we keep all this stuff in perspective, okay? So, like I said, Pastor Ed came back smashing us with a very good question. As a matter of fact, I want to use, so Shantese, make sure you write this down, please. I want to go on the flip side of that, and I mentioned it yesterday. You know, sometimes we don't even know what's going on in our own life. So that's why we have to definitely keep our mouths off someone else. You know, how do we know how God is dealing with us? How do we know what God is trying to do to us, with us, for us, about us, in us? Oh, look how long that list just got that quick. Man, so that's why we got to be real careful about the things that we say and the things that we do. Okay, because we may have to put our heads, you know, into this thing here and really get some understanding. So let's make sure we do that properly, okay? Okay, well, today is Wow Wednesday. Already God has brought us safely through half of the week already, and it's loaded over here today, as always. You know, even an impromptu loading happens. So, come on, you know, let me give you this phone number, 516-387-1358. Again, the number is 516-387-1358. If your internet gets a little wacky, just disconnect real fast and pick up that phone and dial that number, and you will be able to join us in live conversation. Yes, we are live from the hours of 7 through 9, and you will pick up right where you left off. So that's why you got to hurry up and do this thing, because you don't want to miss any part of its due time, you know, especially if the crew is on, man, you're going to be in trouble because you could miss a whole lot, okay? Now, if you want to text 347-285-7777, again, that text number is 347-285-7777. And this way, you can join the conversation. Yes, we have Shantese on the ones and twos. Yes, she's picking up those text messages. So, you know, you could call that 516-387-1358 if you want to talk. And, you know, let her know that you would like to, you know, share in this conversation. Or you can always text and she'll read your comment. Yeah, not all the time do you have to do things yourself. We've made it a little simpler for you over here. But we're so happy to have you today in our Wow Wednesday celebration. And you know who always gets the party started on Wednesdays, right? All right now. So make sure you hold on to your seat. You got to get that healthy breakfast. You know, listen, you know how it goes down. Get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell a friend, text a friend, let them know that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And where are you? Because see, later when I want to talk about this stuff, I got to wait for you to listen and then talk, man. Sometimes I get calls like all day long. Oh, my goodness, did you hear that? Or what about so-and-so? Yeah, it goes down just like that. So you don't want to be behind, do you? Not at all. So let's make sure that, you know, you got everything together. And we're going to take this quick break, and we'll be right back.
Today, approximately 1 million people in the United States are living with Parkinson's disease. My dad was one of those people. My mom was his primary caregiver. Early signs can be subtle, a tremor in your hand, stiffness in your body, short shuffling steps when you walk. Know the signs and how to spot them in yourself or someone you love. And know the steps to take. Early diagnosis and expert care can improve the quality of life for a Parkinson's patient. And in some cases, it can even mean saving a life. The National Parkinson Foundation is here to help. Learn more about the early signs and discover the free resources available for patients and caregivers at Parkinson.org. Let's do whatever it takes to beat Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm. Well, good morning to you. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Wow Wednesday, okay? Oh, thanks for hanging out with us today as we celebrate the middle of the week. And we always get it done big over here, okay? And I'm so happy to have you with us. You know, we would be nothing without you. You know that's what I always say. Couldn't do it without you, okay? Well, let's say good morning to our girlfriend Vivian, who always gets us started with Socially Conscious. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. What you got for us today?
Today on Socially Conscious, we have those COVID numbers. Top five states and territories with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are in the exact same order as the last 2 weeks, which has never happened since we've started reporting on COVID cases. But number one is Florida with 26,508 new positive cases in the last 7 days, which is a decrease of over 6,000 cases since last week's report. Number two is Michigan with 19,003 cases in the last 7 days. Again, another decrease of over 7,000 cases since last week. Number three is Pennsylvania with 16,906 cases in the last 7 days. Another decrease of over 5,000 cases since last week's report. Texas is number four with 15,505 cases in the last 7 days. That is another decrease of over 6,000 cases since last week. And number five is Illinois with 15,239 new cases in the last 7 days. That is a decrease of over 3,000 cases since last week. And I don't know about y'all, but I am definitely excited about these numbers, maybe because I was truly expecting increases when they decided to, you know, give the green light to people who've had the vaccine to walk around outside without their masks. But I'm happy to say that the cases are going down. And I remember when we started looking at these cases in the beginning, and the cases and the death rates were very, very high. So it's good to see 3 consecutive weeks of these numbers going down. Gives me hope that maybe we're getting back to some type of normal. So in other news, Governor Cuomo has announced 6 new pop-up vaccine sites, which are Penn Station, Grand Central Terminal, East 180th Street, 179th Street, Coney Island, Broadway Junction, and some others will be opening up soon. And as an added bonus, the MTA is providing a free 7-day Metro card or a free LIR round trip ticket for individuals who get vaccinated at these sites. And I can just imagine Shantice's face right now. Now, I'm not sure if I want to get this vaccine at all, but I know for certain I will not go into an MTA subway station to get it. But to each his own, if you're looking for it, maybe you can check those stations. And now for your health, safety, and concern, and your convenience, we have some recalls for the week. Bloomy Inc. has issued a recall for their biotin collagen keratin capsules for hair, skin, and joint due to undeclared fish found in the product, which is sold on Amazon. Natural Way is recalling their almond butter due to undeclared peanuts found in the product, which is sold nationwide. Hershey's is recalling their Hershey's chocolate shell topping due to undeclared almonds found in the product, which is also sold nationwide. Frito-Lay has put an allergy alert on undeclared milk found in their Ruffles all-dressed potato chips distributed regionally at Sam's Club. And now we have a story of a father in Atlanta whose 11-year-old son jumped out of a moving school bus to escape bullies. Reports say the unnamed boy suffered a concussion and a broken elbow on Wednesday due to the incident. The family says they have spoken to the school before regarding other incidents and that this incident must have just pushed the boy too far. Dion Murphy is the father. He said he watched the video from the school bus and saw one student jump in his son's face, exchanging words and pushing him against the window. Another student took his shoe, and in a desperate attempt to escape, the 11-year-old boy jumped out of the window, landed on top of a pickup truck, and then fell on the highway ground. The boy is recovering from his injuries and has been removed from the school. There is no word as to what type of punishment the other students will face. The nation is looking to Biden to fix border control issues after five female children, including an infant, were abandoned at the Mexico border in South Texas on Monday. It is reported that a farmer found the girls hungry and crying near his farm. He reports that one girl was naked and crawling because she was too young to walk. The oldest of the children was 7, and the youngest of the children was just 11 months old. It is reported that there are about 700 children in border patrol custody across the entire Mexico border, which is a major decrease from the 6,000 children back in March, but people are calling for Biden to make a permanent change as soon as possible. And now for our wow story of the week. Officers in Mississippi are on administrative leave pending an investigation for an incident that happened on Monday where a baby was shot and killed after being used as a human shield by his father. During a shootout with police, Eric Darrell Smith reportedly abducted his 3-month-old son, LaMelo Parker, after killing the child's mother, Christian Parker, and her nephew, Brandon Parker, Monday afternoon. Reports say that after receiving a call about gunfire, the police show up to find the bodies, which set off a search for Eric Smith, who was Mrs. Parker's ex-boyfriend. After receiving tip that Smith was spotted on Interstate 10, heading east, police go after him, where Smith drives into a grass meadow and starts shooting at police who return fire. Both Smith and the 3-month-old LaMelo were killed at the scene. So I chose this story because, I mean, his own father used his little body as a human shield. First of all, what was his little 3-month-old body supposed to protect? And second of all, did they really have to shoot back? This has been Vivian with the Socially Conscious giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you'd like to submit, feel free to direct message me on my Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you to all of our loyal listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
Well, thank you, Vivian, for our Socially Conscious segment. Now, you should know I'm getting ready to talk about this father who watched his son get on the bus, and with my own 2 eyes, after hearing that my child, has been, bullied, I'm going to watch somebody, take his shoe, push him up against a window. Oh, they would have had to worry about me going through the window, not about him jumping out of this moving bus. Come on, Vivian. You mean to tell me you saw all this going on, you didn't jump in front of the bus and say, hold it. See, let me tell you something. My mother would have been like, hold it. Man, they would have been able to pull that bus off. Am I getting the story correct?
Well, he watched the video. No, you are. He watched the video, not as it was happening. He watched it, after the incident happened. So they showed him the video to show him what happened that caused his son to jump off of the moving bus. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Because I was trying to figure out, as you were talking, I'm like, the father watched this go on? No, come on, this bullying thing. What? We're going to have to do a segment on bullies. I'm glad Brother Al ain't on his phone yet, on his line yet, because I have to hear about how I'm a bully. But, you know, on a serious note, come on, this is little babies, 5 years old and things like that have committed suicide because of bullies. You know, yes. What is going on with these children at home that they come and take it out on other children, and these children are not, you know, being addressed, and now this is this kind of stuff that they're enduring. I got to jump out mm-hmm. of a moving bus, Vivian, in order for me to feel safe?
Crazy.
Well, how do you get out the bus anyway? Don't the bus driver have to open
That's
up the door?
I'm wondering. I don't know. Maybe he opened up the emergency latch in the back and just jumped out. I don't understand it either. But he got his little stuff out of there.
Well, I tell you one thing. If that's what happened, that means it's been going on for a minute, and he didn't plan mm-hmm. this escape route. Because you ain't thinking about that mm-hmm. in no last minute. That's something that, you know,
right.
that has happened in your little head. You didn't sat there and took this and planned it and thought about it at night. You know, your heart has to go out to these people, you know, these little people, because, you know, this is on their minds.
Right.
You know, this is what's going on. Oh, I feel so bad for him. I feel so bad for him. Well, let me see what else you talked about. Okay. Well, this border thing, these children being left at this border is really, because they've been coming up with more and more of these stories a lot recently, how the children are being
yeah.
left at the borders. And I'm trying to figure out what's happening. Where are the parents? Am I missing something in this story? And I'm not being funny. I'm being honest. Am I missing something? Like, where the parents at?
They're leaving the kids in order to, like, get them into the state, and they're just leaving them hoping that, you know, somebody will find them and they'll be adopted. I don't get it, because if you leave a child who's, you know, an immigrant, you know, who's not from here, and you leave them in, you know, at the border, are they absolutely going to be adopted by somebody in the states and quote unquote have a better life? Like, you're risking a big chance of that happening, or it turning, you know, an absolute other way. But I guess they're just
yeah.
that desperate, so.
Yeah, because if you're talking about leaving five children, one as little as she's not even dressed and can't even walk, then what was supposed to happen to them when you left them?
Right.
You know, I guess maybe you're right. Maybe they figured border control would show up, and now, you know, I can't take care of them, you know, better they get that kind of care, and, you know, if not necessarily, you know, be adopted, at least they'll be cared for better than where they come from. And Vivian, I can't mm-hmm. imagine something so bad. You know, we really got it easy here in America in comparison to some of these other countries. But I can't even imagine, you know, leaving my child at the border unattended. Now, my five babies, because I'm going to be honest, Viv, come on. You know, Shanti, Shawnice, and Tamajian and made me mad. But I ain't never consider leaving them at the border. Now, maybe this is something that I ain't being funny. Maybe it's something I need to do the next time they get on my nerves. Maybe that wasn't a big enough threat. Maybe they start acting. But no, all jokes aside, you know, I couldn't even imagine leaving my kids, my older kids at the border. You know, and you're leaving your babies. This has got to be some difficult decision. We just have it too good here where you just can't even fathom these kind of things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, well, what else did you talk to us about this morning? Let me look at my list. Our wow story of the morning. Let's see. We got, the Mississippi officers and shooting at the person, and he grabs the child as a human shield. You know, he's nothing but trash. You know,
right.
you should be protecting your child, and you're throwing your child up, you know, up against your body to protect you. And like you said, them bullets will go through that little body like nothing.
Right.
Come on, bullets go through our bodies. So you, because we've seen, you know, on TV and movies, you know, they shoot through one and they get through to the second person by shooting through the first person. So that,
uh-huh.
that wouldn't do anything. I don't know, Vivian. The news is just driving me crazy, girl. Driving me crazy. But I thank you so much for really getting us started on Wednesday mornings. You always give us something to think about. But thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
I pray you have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. All right. Ooh, that's some kind of news. Some kind of news. So, I got some my news of my own. I was looking here. And weddings. Weddings. Decision-making in weddings. You know, there was a question posed, and it said, I want to read it to you. And the question was, what is it about weddings that turn mature, grown adults into selfish teenagers? I mean, that is some kind of question. Because it seems like when people go to get married, they just lose their mind. And we got two stories this morning about, you know, the two separate weddings. And the first one I want to talk about is there's a groom who is really, really, really upset with his brother because, you know, they, him and the soon-to-be wife, the, you know, bride-to-be, requested that the brother, he, be a part of the wedding party on Halloween. He chose a Halloween day. And that wasn't bad. But what happened was, the brother said, well, listen, I'll be in the wedding, but I got to leave early because that's the day of my son's birthday. So I already think that that's already extending yourself, okay? But based on the time or whatever, he said, I'm going to leave early. He said, because my son really wants to go trick-or-treating. Well, well, well. Here comes the day of the wedding, and now the family, a couple of family members, start talking to him about, hey, you want to stick around? You want to stick around? He was like, no. I already told them when they asked me. I'm cutting out. After, well, the bride and the groom bought the nephew a cake and was going to cut the cake when they cut their cake for the wedding. And he was like, I didn't ask them to do that. Nobody told me, no, you're not monopolizing, you know, the my day. You're not dismissing what I said. And now the groom is infuriated with the brother because he feels that him and his wife went out their way to buy the nephew a cake, and he left anyway. He said, no, I left after the cake cutting. At least I stuck in for that long because I wasn't planning on staying that long. But no, my son wanted to go trick-or-treating, and I kept my word. So now the brothers are at war. Come on, people. He said he would be at the wedding. That wasn't good enough. No, it's never good enough when you deal with these bride and groomzillas. No, now they got to take up your whole day. Now, I didn't bought the tuxedo, took time to come, stood up for you, learned this processional and learned this, you know, the processional in the wedding, then learned the processional in the reception, because especially if they on our side of the track, you know, there's some major choreography going on. And you know how we do. We just don't march in. And You mad at me because I have to leave for my child? I don't think so. See, we out of control. We are straight out of control. Well, it would not be a story if we talked about just the groomzilla. Well, and what is it with these people's siblings? So here's the deal. So the sister, the woman goes, she wants to get married, so she goes to her lady friends and her sister, and she asks, can y'all be in the wedding for me? So they was like, sure, we'll be in the wedding. Well, as they start picking dresses, the other women begin to taunt the sister about how she looks in the wedding dress and how her body looks. And they say things like, you know, she looks disgusting. They really talk about her. And the thing that upsets the bridesmaid sister is that the bride never says anything. And she said they weren't the best of sisters, but she took this step, so, you know, with the hopes of getting closer. You know, I'm in your wedding, and now, you know, hey, what's going on? And now I'm in your wedding, and you don't even have the decency enough to help me out here. All righty. What's going on with these family members in these weddings? Why is it that, you know, this takes such precedence over your relationship with your siblings and your friends? But in these two cases, we're talking about siblings. You know, you got to cover your sister. You can't leave her out there. And, you know, maybe she was a little more plump. You know, that's the way it seemed to me, that she was a little heavier. And they're making fun of her, and you're not even stepping up. Okay? I don't know. But let me grab my girl, Tamika, and have a conversation with her. Good morning, Tamika.
Good AM. How are you? Good morning to our listeners and our fellow ladies on the line.
Well, Tamika, let me just break it to you today, girl. Pastor Kim had to go to a procedure this morning, and so she notified me yesterday that she was not going to be able to join us. And
okay.
Elder Nitesha.
Keep her in prayer.
Yes, thank you. Elder Nitesha stuck in the airport, so she can't call it. So, girl, it's just me and you today. Well, you know what?
That's
I got to keep in the spirit of women, because I was going to pull in the due time crew, and I was like, wait a minute now. There's always Shantice, so let's say good morning to Shantice as well. But before we do that, let's talk about this news. What's going on with these bride and groom zillas? What is that?
I am not getting it. As long as I have been living, I have been hearing so much about bridezillas, groomzillas, and the saddest part is we actually have bridesmaidzillas that we don't talk about. They are everywhere. This wedding is not about you, bridesmaids. Please be seated. Get up and find another seat and sit down again. No.
Wow. Now, that's a new one. I haven't even heard of the bridesmaids zillas. That is crazy.
Oh, my.
Like you said, it's not
goodness.
Even about you. It's bad enough the other ones are cutting up. But at least it's about
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
Wow. So we have the sister who does not take up for her sister. What's that about?
Now, that's just wrong. You know, when I was brought up, the first thing that we were always taught, regardless of what was going on, you and I may not get along, but we're going to stand up for each other when it comes to anyone else. you know. And
right.
there were other things that she as a bride could have done. And, you know, we have done it, you know, in weddings and that type of thing. If you see that a dress doesn't look appropriate for your sister, considering that she is your sister, why not go out and find something in the same color scheme, just a different style of dress that's a little bit more flattering
right.
for her?
Right,
that's
right.
very simple, and it doesn't cause issues for any of the other bridesmaids, and it also allows your sister to shine.
Mhm. Mhm. I've seen women who they want these particular set of women in the bridal party. So what they'll do is they'll just say, "Here's the color." Everybody go out,
mm-hmm.
find
mm-hmm.
you know a dress that fits you, and as long as it's this color, no, I don't care. I've also
Absolutely.
Seen it
mm-hmm.
where they have a myriad of dresses that they've chosen. They have like two or three different styles, and all
mm-hmm.
those styles were chosen to, you know, to accommodate the woman who was going to wear, you know, these dresses. So I don't know, Tamika, where, you know, it just seems to be okay for you not to address that.
Absolutely. You know, the thing about it is you could have 100 women wear the same style dress and it
mm.
look completely different on every
yep.
single woman. And so
yep.
with that in mind, the other thing that she could have done was most times when you're in a wedding, you look at the shapes of the women, and the largest woman is the one that you pattern the dress for.
Right,
right. You start with that one, and then you work your way down. That's
right.
normally how it's done. But apparently,
mm-hmm.
she wanted this particular style dress, and she thought of nothing else. And so when they belittled her sister, of all people, she just said, you know, she just ignored it. How dare you?
Very insensitive, very insensitive. Let's talk about
Absolutely.
This groomzilla. This groomzilla, okay? What's going on with him and the nephew's birthday? You going to buy... Now, when do we celebrate birthdays, Tamika, at the same time we celebrating a wedding?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing that I'm
mm-hmm.
twisted about. What's your thought?
You know, the thing about this groomzilla, I'm actually shocked because for the most part, as far as I know, grooms usually are not that bad. It's usually the bride. And so in this situation, for you to have a temper tantrum, me as your sibling, I specifically said to you, I'm spending time with my child. And so I think that's a beautiful thing for a man to spend time with his child. And you decided, without saying anything to me, oh, we're going to go out and buy a cake and such and such and such and such.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. I said to you, I'm not going to be there for the full amount because I clearly said to you, I'm going to spend time with my child. Regardless
right.
of what it was, whether he was going to Halloween shopping, whether they were going to spend time at home, whether they were going to a baseball, basketball, whatever the case may be, I said to you, I'm not going to be there for the full time. I'm spending time with my child. For you to take it upon yourself to go out of your way to do something extra, that's on you. Whatever money you spent on that cake, again, that is on you. Don't take it out on me because you decide to rearrange my whole entire schedule. That's on you. So whatever emotions that you feel, that is your problem that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. This is just a crazy frame of mind to get into once you get married. Ain't nobody got no sense no more. I don't get it. I don't get it. I do not get it. But thank you so much for... you know, joining me today, and we're going to add Shantice to the equation and help this lady's conversation go down. And here's the funny part. We don't even have Pastor Charlene today. Now, it must be meant for you to be doing some talking, girl. It must be meant for you to be doing some talking because you the lone man out. Because I always say I hate to be the third wheel. So, whew. So let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning, Lady Tamika. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you. Well, thank you. Well, thank you for joining the party today, the party of two.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We're talking about these crazy news stories we have. Now, we started off with the sister who, you know, heard other people taunting, you know, her sister about the way she looked in the dress. And this got started early. This wasn't only on the day of. This had been an accumulative conversation, and she didn't take up for her sister. What's up with that?
I think she's really whack for that. I mean, any woman that you have in your bridal party, you know, they're flattered because that means that, you know, there's a special type of relationship there. And with that being your sister, you know, you shouldn't want anybody teasing anybody, you know, in your wedding party because most of the time they're your friends, but now, especially with this being your sister, you can't now show them that that's okay for them to do that, you know, to her. Now, how is she supposed to expect her to feel comfortable enough to still be a part of this wedding party so that she drops out unexpectedly, then you're going to be upset?
Are
you
still there? Shantice?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Thought I lost you for a minute. Now, we can't have the only other woman have sound effects issues, Lady Tamika. What in the world is going on today? What we got? Okay.
Hello?
Yes?
Hey,
we can hear
I don't
you.
Know what just happened. I don't know what just happened.
Okay.
no, I was saying that how do you now expect her to feel comfortable with still being a part of this wedding party? Because if she drops out, then you're going to be upset. You know, so I don't understand how that's supposed to work.
I don't either. We don't either. We don't either. We're talking about the groom now. The groom with his brother telling him up front, hey, I'm not going to, you know, be there for the whole time. I'm willing to, you know, be there for a while, but, you know, I need to take my son, you know, shopping. Not shopping, the Halloween trick-or-treating, you hear me, shopping. And I won't be here. But they planned the birthday cake and the wedding cake. You so busy wanting him there. Does that even make sense to you?
No, that's a bit much. And this is why you can't compromise with people, because, you know, you just said all together, listen, I'm doing this, I already planned this with my son, I can't be a part of it. Now you try to accommodate and say, okay, well, I got to leave by 3 o'clock. And now everybody getting all distraught and upset. To have a cake there and all that, it's like, we're not doing this. And I've never even heard of people being okay with that, because I've seen and heard of things like where, like, if it's an engagement party and, like, someone else, or a wedding and someone else proposes to their girlfriend or something there, that the people get upset. So to even hear that you went as far as to get a cake to now, quote-unquote, share this special moment with anyone else is kind of surprising to me.
Wow. Well, I was a little surprised too, because generally you don't want to share. That's why I said I was kind of thrown, because, you know, you generally have the focus on the couple. And, I don't know. I think it's greedy. I think they just lose their mind and, you just lose it all and nobody else matters. So, ladies, Thank you so much for joining me this morning and having our conversation. And I'm thinking about talking about sister friends. Now, we all know what sister friends, friends, sisters, friends like sisters are. And I think it would be a nice idea to talk about that today, just to kind of show the way we need to look at one another, you know. So I want to take a couple of quotes and see what we come up with here, okay? Not sisters by blood, but sisters by heart. What do you think, Lady Tamika?
I have very, you know, I have two that I would really say that are definitely that, you know, in a household where it's just me and my brother, you know. I honestly do feel that these two ladies are so close to me, in that, you know, when I'm not in their presence, you know, they're praying for me, you know, they're lifting me up. And even if someone has ever desecrated my name or turned or said anything against me, you know, they are there, you know, and we don't call each other every day, but the fact that you're there when I need you, you are truly, definitely a sister to my heart. And so definitely, I would clearly say that that's definitely a good topic for a sister friend.
Okay. Shantice, what's your response?
Sister friend. I think it's really, really important to realize when you're able to become really close to, you know, someone and it's not your blood. A lot of the times it's like, dad, like, we're closer than my blood sister, you know. And, like, I know the girlfriends I have, they really showed me, like, what true friendship is, like, what it really means to now take this beyond a friendship and really, really build this sisterhood. So I think that's something that definitely should not be taken lightly. And when you realize you're now entering that level, to pay attention to what the other one is doing so that now you can do that same way for them like they are for you.
Okay. Let's take this one. The best kind of friendships are fierce lady friendships. Let me stop there. The best kind of friendships are fierce lady friendships. What does that say to you, Lady Tamika?
And that's what I was trying to figure out a little bit. If we're talking about strong, you know, I'm trying to figure out where we're going with that. But if we're talking about strength, meaning, you know, I'll be your strength when you're weak and vice versa, that would probably be the only thing that I could visualize from that statement.
Okay. Listen, it's what, remember now, I'm not putting any thoughts in your head. It's what comes to your mind when you hear, you know, these statements. Shantice, you're from another area of life. The best kind of friendships are fierce lady friendships.
That means when it's time to roll up on somebody, we all doing it together. One band, one sound. We all
I knew she would. See the fierce word, Tamika, is the word she got. That's the word she got. Ain't no question. Yeah, see, ain't no question. I was like, Tamika can't figure this out? Well, I tell you one thing, Shantice ain't going to have a problem. But let's talk about that for a minute. You know, whenever we get into some kind of issue, especially Shantice's, I don't see this being Lady Tamika. I don't see this being Lady Tamika. But, you know, what about those girlfriends that will roll up with you at any given moment? What does that say? When you want to be crazy, she going to be crazy with you. When you want to be sane, she going to be sane with you. You want to go slice a tire, key a car, you know, show up at his house unexpectedly. She got you. She got you. We just got finished watching a movie last week, Shantisha and I, and, you know, this woman had two friends. And it's, you always got that one fierce lady friend. Come on, Lady Tamika, what you got?
Well, okay, it's good, you know, it's good to have a friend like that. You know, we think biblically. Let's think biblically. You know, even Jesus had Peter. You know, Peter, I'm going to cut your ear off. No problem. You know, so let's just be realistic. It's not a problem to have that type of friend, but you got, sometimes you got to tell that, whoa, you know, you got to have, sometimes you got to be careful with that type of person, because like they're ready to go and you're like, wait a minute, you know, because sometimes realistically that friend can lead you down the wrong aisle because she's whispering in your ear, let's go get him, let's do this, let's do that, let's, you know, she's ready to go and you're like, wait a minute, I just, you know, just such and such happened, just such, I'm okay, I can deal with it, I can, she's ready to do whatever, you know, she's ready to go bust a window open, you know, y'all going to jail because she's ready. So you have to be careful with that type of friend. You have to be cautious and be able to say, wait a minute, you know, and even when you think about it, let's go back biblically. When Peter cut the man's ear off, Jesus went straight to him, put the ear right back on. So
right,
sometimes,
right.
Again, you have to be careful with that type of friend.
Mm-hmm. Because he said, you know, that's the great quote, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. He did not, you're right.
True.
Did not agree that that's the way it should handle it. And, you know, it should be handled, and had to constantly remind that, you know, if this doesn't take place, then guess what? The plan is all messed up. So we got to go through this whole gamut of actualities in order for God's
exactly.
plan to really take place. So, like you said, you know, even at that time, Jesus was like, okay, you know what? Now I got to go put the ear back on. See, you come out here, you call yourself helping me. Now I got to clean up your mess. So you're right. You know, it's always something that, you know, we have to be careful of. Now, Shantisha, we'll give you the same scenario. You know, you've got your people, you know, and you want to go cut up, and you know exactly who to go and get. You're not going to get Lady Tamika, you know?
Uh-uh.
You're not going to get her. You're going to get somebody else.
She
What's that about?
Uh-uh.
Because when it's time to turn up, you ain't trying to hear all that kumbaya stuff. But I will say that I now that God has cut out everybody who ain't in church, who was in my life, you know, sometimes you can still turn up in church. But, you know, I have the type of friends where I know that there's one I could go to and she's with it. At the same time, it'd be so funny because it's like we be in, like, okay, you know, we can do this and this and this, but didn't we just learn such and such and such? All right, wait. Okay, so let's go through the list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if we go through this list and we still feel like this, now we both got to go now to the pastor turned up. And if we still turned up after talking to the pastor now, I don't know what's fitting to happen because we still both fired up. You know, so I see the difference in when I would go to, you know, before I was saved, and I would go to the people that I knew, like, all I had to do was see my face. And, like, all right, where are we going? Like, I ain't have to explain nothing. All right, where are we going? At least now, like, I have to explain what's going on because they ain't, as much as they with it, they ain't necessarily trying to get in trouble. But at least if they feel justified, they with it, but they not blindly going into it. See, the people in the world, they don't care. They'll blindly go into it. All they have to do is see you upset, and that's it. But in church, it's like I at least have to explain what's going on, so at least you know why you're about to get in trouble. You know, so there's a difference.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, keeping in the same note, because I have some, lines here, and they have fierce lady friendships defend each other. So at what point, let's talk about that for a minute, for those who are out there who just don't know how to draw the line. Come on, Lady Tamika, how are we going to help them understand that you help defend one another, or each other rather? Is there a but to this?
There is, you know, and to my lady friends who have been there, you know, who have stuck it in through thick and thin with me, you know, they know who they are. And I want to say clearly, first of all, thank you to them for my road dogs, you know, those that have journeyed with me throughout whatever. They have been there when things have happened. You know, they're the ones who are my mouthpiece when I'm not there. But, you know, because they are in God, they have that realm of, okay, you know, you can say this and you can do this. And there's a way to do it, you know, not just, you know, going off the, you know, pulling at the seams, you know. And there have been some real moments where, you know, I'm like, I told such and such what happened, and she said, they did what, you know. And instinctively, you know, because you're human, the first thing you want to do is rescue, to the point that, you know, it goes to that degree. You think about it, but you don't act on it. And so there comes a point where I thank God, you know, for these women being in God. It's necessary to have God, because God is that thing that will retain you and restrain you, you know. And when you have someone who may not necessarily be there just yet, you as the person have to be able to take the steering wheel and say, no, we're not going to do that. You just can't let them fly off at the seams. You know, you need to talk to me before you start doing such and such, because that damages me, and ultimately it damages us.
Okay. Now, Shantice, you know, we're in the same vein. We're talking about fierce lady friendships defend each other. For you, is there a but to this?
There's definitely a but, because I've been in situations where I wasn't the one who went and said something to someone, but I was on the receiving end of someone went and spoke to someone else, and now that someone else just took this situation from 1 to 500, and now when I'm trying to call you, you hiding because you claim you ain't know that so-and-so was going to do this. But while you probably thinking, I'm going to really be getting on them, or I'm going to get on them, but I'm really looking for you, because you have to realize that you have to take ownership and responsibility for what you say to people. And a lot of, and this is why the Bible tells us only a fool vents, because only a fool will just sit and just spew things out of their mouth carelessly and not consider the ears that are listening. I know who, what to say, who around. I don't know if I said it right, but I know that I can't say, even in my family, like, there's certain things I could say to my mother that I cannot say to my grandmother, and I will not tell her, because I already know. Now, if I tell my grandmother something that I went through with somebody else, she can never be around that person ever again in life, because that would just be the end of their career as a human. Like, that's it. I can't. You cannot go around my grandmother, because I've been flipped up and told her this, and now in her mind, you are just the type of person that you are. Versus if I say it to my mother, even if she starts not to kind of like you, there's still going to be that respect that you still get. And she may, and if God says, okay, well, you need to reconsider how you feel, she's going to take that. That ain't happening with Irving. So now you have to realize that you have to take responsibility for that. So again, when I say stuff to my friends now, you know, even now I have to kind of watch what I say, not because I'm going to get mad at them, but I can't now get mad at them for responding a certain way when I already know what's going to happen. And a lot of people do that, and a lot of people don't understand that they're responsible. Listen, it happens all the time. You tell somebody something, they go commit the crime, and you get locked up for conspiracy. I ain't playing that game. Just realize who you're talking to, and make sure you ain't talking to that real, real, real fierce friend if you're not really willing to go all the way.
Okay. Well, they say the fierce lady friendships believe in each other. Oh, what is that like, Tamika? We're educating, you know, for those who don't really know how to be a real sister friend. We're helping them understand today that a fierce lady friend believes in each other. Friends believe in each other, I should say.
Mm-hmm. And with that in mind, you do. You never allow your sister friend to go lacking. For instance, if you know that there is a need that she may have, and we're not even talking about something financial, it may just be support, you know, you're not going to, for one, talk about her in a point that diminishes her, and that you believe that even if she is down, that she can be better, and it's your responsibility to undergird her in any way, shape, or form that you can, so that when she is down, that she doesn't appear down to everyone else, and you're not going to allow her to fold like a, you know, like a flower that's wilting. It's your responsibility to undergird her in prayer, finances, or even just in your physical body to let her know, listen, you know, I believe in you. Even if you're having a moment where things are not your best, I've got you, you know, and so that's your responsibility. That's what you would do with a sibling, all the more to do with a sister friend.
Okay. Shantice, you know, it says that a true, fierce lady friendship, you know, you two believe and you really believe in one another.
Yes, that's something that has definitely been shown with me. When I say with me, meaning they've been showing me that, you know, anytime I can go to them with something, and they'll quickly, immediately, okay, yeah, no, that's not going to work. I'm sorry. Or, okay, that sounds good. How can I help you? Or what would you need me to do? All right, bet. When you need me there? Okay, I can't come this time, but I can come that time. All right, which, you know, and having that support and not that saying yes to everything, but that real support, again, when you need to get shut down, they're going to shut you down. When you need just that air to talk to, or that physical support, that financial support, however they know that they can be there for you. And again, when you pay attention to that, you now learn and you make sure that you're like that for them. So if, especially now, you know, everybody's getting older, everybody's grown. So if we're not able to be that for each other, then, or we can't get to that point, then we just need to cut this now. Because it's very important to have that in a friendship.
Okay. So I'm going to take this moment to invite our female listeners. Tell us what you think about a fierce lady friendship who believes in each other, defends each other. And what a fierce lady friendship means to you. I'd love to hear what you have to say. 347-285-7777. Lady Tamika, it also says that a fierce lady friendship, they think the other deserves the world. Ooh, what does that mean?
You know, I'm thinking about it just in general, you know, and let's just be true and honest that a lot of women can be very catty. You know, they're just so sneaky, they're undermined, you know, and they'll do things to aspire to a role. So I'll step on you just to get to whatever. These are not those type of friends. Sister friends are really, really there for each other. And so, you know, I believe that you deserve the world. And if I can't get it for you, then, you know, I'll try my best. Whatever it is that I can do to support you, you know, I find that, you know, you may be going through a moment. Give you a call in the middle of the day. Send you a text that says, hey, thinking about you, you know, how's your day going? You know, good morning. Anything, just to let you know, listen, you know, you may have a moment, somebody's thinking about you. You know, I have sister friends that I literally tell, you know, I just send a text message, I love you. That simple. You know, just so that you know, listen, if you're going through, you've got me. And, you know, if I can't give you the world, whatever it is that I can offer you, You know, I know your birthday's coming up. Send you, you know, a bouquet of flowers. Anything to remind you that you've got somebody in your corner. And if you need me, girl, I'm there.
Okay, okay. Shantice, fierce lady friendships. Think the other deserves the world.
Yes, again, that goes back to that. What you need, okay, I'm there. You know, I've had my friends just out of nowhere, come meet me here so I can buy this because I know you need it. You know, and there was really no room for pride or anything because, again, you have to realize what God is doing. God is putting it on their heart to do for you, and they're responding to it. You know, because a lot of people feel, okay, I should do this, but then they don't respond to it. So you really have to pay attention to when God is saying, I'm showing you that I'm thinking highly of you through your friends and the ones who respond to it because they don't mind. You know, a lot of times when people do stuff for other people, it has to be because they're getting something in return, you know, and that's why a lot of people don't like doing stuff. So if God's putting it on their heart and they're responding to it, they're now making the choice to put whatever they may need to the side. Because they could do stuff with that money or with that time or, you know, whatever they're doing for you. But they're putting themselves to the side to now do for you because they feel like you deserve it. That you definitely have to pay attention to that.
Okay, okay. Ah, here we go. Lady Tamika, there's a point in every true friendship where friends stop being friends for a minute. Ooh, what's that like?
Okay, so I have not come across that one.
Okay.
These ladies have been true blue. I have had situations where I've had someone who was close to me and something happened. You know, we are distant friends. She will text and she will, you know, from time to time call. But it is what it is. But the love hasn't been lost. It's just kind of repositioned, if that makes sense. You know, she, you know, mm-hmm. we still care about each other because we were really, really close. It just kind of transitioned. And she is, you know, she's far away. She lives her life. But every now and then she will send me a message or, you know, just to remind me, you know, I'm still there. I'm really, really far away. But I'm still there.
Okay, okay. Shantice, this is a true friendship. Gets to a point where you stop being friends for a minute there.
Yep, that's when you know you're real friends. When it gets to the point where I don't like you. Don't talk to me. And you have that, you know, short window of time because, you know, they're as you're getting older, you're learning about yourself, your friend is learning about you, and you're going to hit those points where it's like, I don't like that part of you. I don't like when you do this. I don't like when you say that. And there will be, you know, sometimes pockets of time where it's like, okay, we're going to need to, I go east, you go west. But true friendship, you're always going to come back together, you know, and you're always going to be able to talk about those times where you had to separate. So, yeah, after what I've gone through, like, God showing me where I thought I was the epitome of a friend, and it's like, yeah, you wasn't all that. Like, I'm going to really show you. And, you know, you're going through stuff with friends. It's like, that's when you really know your friends, when it's just like, yeah, I'm good off of you right now. Yeah, whatever. And then, but next thing you know, we're coming back together. But we have to, there has to be dialogue about what happened, you know, so that it doesn't, you know, continue to get toxic and build up and build up. But, yeah, absolutely. It's going to happen. It's inevitable in a real friendship. Nobody smiles all the time.
All right, ladies. You've been holding it down rather nicely. And we're going to take a quick moment to shift gear and welcome Dwayne. It's Techie Talk time. Good morning, Dwayne.
Yes. Good morning, ladies. Good morning.
How are you?
Good AM.
I'm good.
Good. good, very good. What you got for us today?
Well, I'm going to remind everybody that they're going to have to start cleaning those wonderful browsers. You got to clean them. You got to get them in order. And I posted something, instruction on Coach for Christian Life page on Facebook. You all are welcome to go there and take a look at it. I only posted one for the Chrome, Google Chrome, which is a browser. Every so often, we tend to download and install programs off the internet, and sometimes those programs come with other small little programs that we had no intention of installing onto our computer and may cause for havoc to pursue. Viruses, malwares, all that stuff. A lot of times we install a program and it puts a small tiny toolbar at the very top of the browser that you have. Google Chrome, Internet Explorer, Microsoft Edge, and these toolbars are pretty much they're helpful in a sense, but a great deal of them are not, and they just slow down your web surfing experience, and also attract a lot of malware and viruses and such. So the best thing to do is to remove it. There is instructions on how to do that. You will go click on the three dots on the right-hand side corner, and then you go down to where it says settings, and then within settings, there's a feature there that will help you to remove any external toolbars that you have attached to your browser. So it's cleanup time, people. Clean it up. Let's get it done. Come on now. And, of course, as always, if you get stuck or if you need help, please call Dwayne at 646-361-4698, 646-361-4698. I'll be glad to walk you through it or give you a hand or do whatever I can to get you up and running again properly. Okay?
All right. But before you go, what is malware? I get this thing all the time, malware. You just got finished mentioning it. What is that?
Well, malware are like tiny, small programs that you can mistakenly download. Like, for instance, you're checking out your email, and you mistakenly click on a link in your email, and that link takes you to an undeserving website that you really didn't want to go to. And also, while you're surfing on the internet, and you go into different web pages, you might go to a page that you don't really want, and software is being downloaded and installed in the background of your computer without your knowledge. So there's a particular program called Malwarebytes, and what that does is that it scans your entire computer for unwanted mini softwares and programs, and it removes them for you. It gets rid of them for you. But that's pretty much what that is. These are softwares that, may record your keystrokes, or they may send your information forward to other companies and things like that. So you have to be very careful. It's unfortunate that what we enjoy the most by going on the internet to surf is the same thing that can harm you. So you just got to be mindful and be careful and do your due diligence to protect yourself.
Okay. Well, you answered my next question, because I was going to ask you how harmful is it, but thank you so much for just helping to clear that up for us so that we understand. You know, I do have it, and it expired. Okay, so all right, so let's really quickly. I do have it, it expired, and I haven't checked to find out. Yeah, it's called Malwarebytes. And how much does it cost? Do you know how much it costs to renew? Because it
I don't do pay, baby.
You know
Dwayne
what?
Don't do pay.
Well, I mean, we're not techie like that, so we can't be finding stuff, you know, for free that we need. But
all you would need to do is just, you know, if it expired, just, you know, uninstall it and just go back to the website again where you got it from and just re-download it and reinstall it again on your computer. And you can just use the free version. There's a free version of that. So you don't have to use the paid version of it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for letting us know how we can get that done, because I surely wouldn't know. But thank you so much for, you know, helping us realize we need to clean up. How much faster is our computer going to be once we eliminate all this stuff here? Should we see a difference?
When it comes to the browser, if you get rid of those tools and things that's bogging down your browser, you'll notice a significant amount of speed on your browser when it logs into different web pages. I don't think it would be like a Ferrari or anything, that kind of speed, but it wouldn't be so bogged down with a whole bunch of data holding it hostage. So, you know, it'd be like when you first got your computer. It'll be on that level of, you know, of speed. It'll be a lot faster.
Okay.
It'll come up a lot quicker and things like that. Another thing to do is to reset, or every so often you may have to reset your browser back to its factory settings. What the down part of that is that if you have your username and password saved on your browser, which is a no-no sometimes, you will definitely lose all that information. So I always tell people to, you know, when it comes to username and passwords, to make sure you write them down, you know, in a pad, or make sure you email them to yourself, you know, so that you will always be able to have it. And God forbid something goes wrong or you can't, you know, get to your computer and you need to rely on other people to get to it, that they just have to just go into your email account. And there they'll find all of your username and passwords for your, you know, web services and web accounts and things like that. So, every so often you have to clean it, man. I would say maybe 6 months you should do a good cleaning, you know.
Okay,
it's recommended.
Okay. And lastly, that's each browser you use, correct?
Each browser, yes. Browser. I mentioned Google Chrome because that's one of my favorite, but they have Microsoft Edge, Internet Explorer, Firefox, and of course Google Chrome. But each one has a way for you to go in there and clean it up and get rid of the cache and reset the browser or remove the toolbar. So I only gave you one example, but there's other examples on how to remove things out of each one.
Okay, thank you. And I kind of stuck a pin there today because of a conversation you and I had last week, and I'm asking you to prepare next week for that internet speed check again, and we're going to go over some of the stuff that you and I went through. It was so crucial last week. Please prepare for that, and I wanted to make sure I stuck a pin in it today, because even those who say, oh, he comes on and I really don't know anything about, you know, this here today was, if you have a laptop, if you're using a desktop, if you, you know, this stuff is crucial. After last week's conversation, I'm like, okay, I need to pay a lot more attention. So thank you so much, Dwayne. I'm dead serious. Thank you so much for our techie information. We so appreciate you. And Godspeed, that's going to be our conversation next week.
I'm looking forward to it. No problem at all.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a blessed one.
You too.
Thank you. Ah, yeah, because everybody brushes off this, you know, this. I don't do all the techie stuff. It doesn't matter. If you're using a laptop or a desktop, you need to pay attention to this stuff, because you're pulling stuff into your device that you're not even realizing. So, now, thank you, ladies. for taking a pause in our conversation. There's a couple things I want to talk about before I let you go here today about this sister friend topic. And I want to ask, is there a time when you felt or you realized that you really wasn't being a sister friend? And you thought you were, could nobody tell you you weren't? But just there was that light bulb that went off one day. Lady Tamika.
Honestly, as I'm thinking, not me. I can't think of a time when I wasn't there or when I didn't do what I was supposed to.
Okay. So then answer this. When did you learn what a true sister friend meant?
Okay. There have been a series of times when something happened to me or someone offended me and it hurt really, really bad. And these ladies, I mean, they covered me in every avenue that I could possibly think of. They called, they checked up on me, they spoke on my behalf. They defended, one of them almost came to blows, you know, but thank God I calmed her down. We prayed about it. And, you know, she was just that angry, you know, because that's the type of person that she is. She's, you know, nobody's going to hurt my sister friend, you know. In true depth, they were there in every capacity that they could. They called, they double checked, they texted, you know, they encouraged, they prayed. You know, and even in times, you know, provided finances. And there was an incident that I can think of where I wasn't even there. And, you know, these people, they always have, they said, you know, but they said never has a name. And so, you know, when they started saying things about me and, you know, something extremely derogatory, she stood up in the midst of everyone and said, that's not her. You know, and she says, let me tell you about this person. And she went into great depth. And, you know, it wasn't a thing that she told me. It came back to me, and I was out of town. You know, before she could even get to me to tell me what was going on, I was getting calls from, of course, these people, you know, stating things and knowing that she was there to rescue me even when I'm not there. That's when you really, really know when I'm not there and you still stand for who you are and for who we are, then that truly tells me that you are definitely my sister friend.
Okay. Shantice, I'm going to ask you the initial question. You know, was there a time when you realized that, you know, you would just, oh, yes, I'm a sister friend, you know, I'm there, blah, 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 and then something happened that made you rethink, like, wow, I could have done that better, or I could have been doing this better, or, okay, I didn't realize I was supposed to be doing this. Is there a time you experienced that?
Yes, what came to mind was I went through something, and what I went through, had I told my friends, it could have been very beneficial to them in helping to prevent them from doing the same thing I did, but I allowed shame and fear and embarrassment to prevent me. And when they came and said that they pretty much made the same mistake, I felt like crap. And I had to just, like, get them on the phone and tell them, like, all right, so I failed y'all because I went through the same thing but was too afraid, and now I feel like, well, not failed because God told me I did fail them. But I failed you because it was my responsibility to pretty much put y'all on so that it could have helped to possibly prevent you from making the same mistake. So that just showed me that there was a higher requirement in the friendship arena that I wasn't really paying that much attention to. I was still thinking more about myself than about my friends. So that's when I realized, like, all right, I'm going to have to step this up.
Okay. I have a quote here.
And you know, when you all are answering individually, you kind of scathe over some things. But I like to stick a pin sometimes. And the statement is, a true friend doesn't care when you're broke, when you're being a wench or witch, but, you know, there's another word there, what you weigh, if your house is a mess, what you drive, about your past, or if your family is filled with crazy people. They love you for who you are. Lady Tamika.
Whew. That is, honestly, that is, there's no greater truth than that, you know. And, you know, true friends, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, you broke, okay, fine, we got money. You know, that's the way that goes. You broke, we got money. You know, your house, you know, I remember, like, you know, my house is under renovation. So there are areas that are not the most, you know, and I remember when one of my sister friends came to the house, and I kept saying, no, don't go in there, don't go in there. She just walked in there like it was nothing. She stepped across this, stepped across that, shifted to the left, shifted to the right, had to wiggle her hip on one side because it was just literally just that bad, you know. And I'm like looking like, oh, my God, she going to say something, you know. And we're often very personal about our homes. So when you let somebody in there, you're very cautious about, okay, don't go in that room. Don't pull out that drawer. That's the junk drawer. I don't want her to pull out that drawer. But you know, she's the type of person that, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter that, you know, you don't get along with this one. You know, I love you from the depths of it all. You know, it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter what your parents. It doesn't matter that you live in a household with people and you're the only sane one. You know, and so she loves you regardless. You know, she come in the house and everybody's in an uproar but you. You know, and so it doesn't matter because I love you through the depths of that. Whatever it is that's going on, you know, you got something going on with a sibling, a spouse, a child, you know, that sister girl is there through it all. What can I do to support? How? What way? You know, she's kind of like a table leg, if that makes sense. You know, she is your support. So whatever side is leaning, she's going to get on that side and she's going to gird it up. Whatever I need to do, put a splint, put a stent, whatever it is that I can do, put a piece of bandage around it. However I can support you, she is there regardless of it all. And she doesn't look at the fact that, oh, well, I have greater education, or, oh, I have this, or I've acquired that. She takes all of that and forgets it and realizes that you are my friend, and whatever it is you need, I got you, girl.
Okay. Shantiz, I'm going to reread this statement. A true friend doesn't care when you're broke, being a witch, what you weigh, if your house is a mess, what you drive, about your past, or if your family is filled with crazy people. They love you for who you are.
Well, that's how I know that my friends are meant to be in my life, because we all got this in common. So I can't talk about their family. They can't talk about mine. Everybody is crazy. We all felt like we had some sort of deficiency that we didn't each have to talk each other off the ledge about. Finances, like, there has been so many times, like, after church, we're like, okay, we're going to go out to eat. And then one is like, oh, well, I don't have any money. And it's like, I will slap you. We didn't ask you, do you have money today? And then the following week, you may be the one who doesn't have money. It's almost like a restaurant sushi. Like, we pay for you this week, and then the following week, you go out and everybody chips in for you. And, if, you know, it's never this whole, oh, okay, well, remember, I paid for your nachos last week, so I want my $9.99 back. Or, It's never none of that. And when you have a real friendship, all you think about is the other person, and it does not minimize. Like, it's not like you're taking away from yourself. So it's like, I'm in the trenches with you. I'm in, if, you know, if you're broke, if I got a dollar, now we both have 50 cents, you know. And it's really, really, really hard to come across people like that, especially out in the streets now, because everybody is just out for themselves. So when you see that you have a person or people who are willing to really be in the trenches with you, when you need to speak, you know, because I don't call, listen, my friends work, and I will call you 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, like, listen, which side of the story do you want to hear? You want to hear me talk before you need to bail me out, or you want to get the phone call that I'm locked up, and now you got to call and wake everybody else up, because I got to ante up for the bail money. Like, you just let me know. You know, but it really makes a difference, because when you really watch it, you see people out here who are so just flimsy with each other. And, okay, I'm good with you today, but tomorrow, it's like, nah. When you see that people are really willing to be there with you, and none of all the things that you feel like, oh, this person doesn't want to be around me because of this, that, and they look at it and they laugh and they're like, yeah, whatever, be quiet. You know, you really need to take hold of that, because you're not really finding that out here.
Okay. Well, ladies, we've come to the end of our conversation, and I want you to just give your closing on this Bible verse, please. You've done a fine job today talking about that sister friend. We're going to close with Proverbs 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And we know who that verse is referring to. So let's just take it to another level as we close out today, Lady Tamika.
I am truly grateful, again, for my sister friends. And I believe that the reason why our friendship is the way that it is because of God. You know, I wouldn't have been able to make it this far without God. And God directed these individuals in my life, and they are strategic. Their placement is valuable. However, God is paramount in our lives. And because he is who he is, we can be who we are individually and then towards each other. But most of all, I give all highest praise and all honor to God Almighty.
Okay, thank you. Shantice, we have Proverbs 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. How are you closing?
Well, just remembering that Jesus is or should be your best friend. And, of course, he's going to show himself through the people that he strategically places you around. So again, when he puts it on someone's heart to do for you, it should really be acknowledged, because you're responding to Jesus. The same way they're answering what they're feeling, now how you reciprocate or how you respond to it, you're responding to him. And he's not going anywhere. As long as he sees that you're making room for him, he's going to continue to be that friend to you and to now teach you how to be that friend, not only to him, but again to the people who he has put into your life for a purpose.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lady Tamika. Thank you, Shantice, for blessing us today. We had you as the representatives both of our Wow Wednesday. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Ah, what a day. You know, it's just interesting. God always sends you a ram in the bush. I got a call from Pastor Kim yesterday that she was not going to be able to be on today. And it's funny, she said to me, she said, well, you know, you want to, you know, what about so-and-so? You know, but I didn't know whether you spoke to her or not, because later on when I spoke to her, she said, because, you know, I don't know, you know, if you, you know, if you replace me. I said, to listen, I don't replace any of you three at all. And it was late by that time, and I was like, okay, you know what, I'm not going to bother, because that's a little, you know, for me to jump and call one of the due time crew, that's one thing. But you don't do that to, you know, other people, and I haven't had that kind of experience. And I'm sure she wouldn't have mind. But, you know, I was like, you know what, let me, it's late. It was like 10 o'clock, pretty much. So I just left it alone. And this morning, I looked up and I did not see Pastor Charlene on. And I'm like, wait a minute. I think she told me, yep, she said tomorrow. And me thinking, not thinking, tomorrow is Wednesday. At least not this morning. I thought about it when she told me. And then I'm looking and I'm like, well, where's Elder Natisha? And I had Shantice reach out and she couldn't get on because she's in the airport. And I'm like, okay. This is going to be quite an interesting morning because you all hear me say all the time, I don't like being the third leg. I'm like, well, I'm down to just Tamika and one other person. And, I would not, go into the conversation that I posted. And I was like, okay, what am I going to talk about? But God always has a ram in the bush, I was like, oh, there's always Shantice, and she always gives us an interesting take on everything. And, we're never short. When God is in the forefront, you are never short. And they did a fantastic job today holding it down by themselves. Because I don't count myself. So I thank them for just pushing forward and just doing what God has given you to do each and every day. I call them my due time crew anytime. I need you. And I just give God thanks for them just being intelligent enough to just hold it down. And God is going to always need us to step in at the last minute, just to do what we need to do or to step our game up, So we give God thanks for always being that, preparing that ram in the bush for us. So, all righty. Well, we have come to the time of the morning where we hold hands and we hold hearts and we go before the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, because in all of our time that we spend, we can always spend an extra moment with you. We can always pay you a little more attention. We can always talk about you a little bit more. We can always read our Bibles a little bit more. We can always pray a little bit more. But regardless of how deficient we may be, even if it's an ounce, you stick right on in there with us. And we say thank you because only you can get us through the things that we need to get through, even when we feel we don't have the capability of doing it, when we don't know what's going to happen. We thank you, God, because you've always got a plan. Thank you. You've you're always prepared for each and everything. And I thank you, God, that we have kept our minds stayed on you enough that we can just step our game up because we're always being led by you. So we thank you, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for Pastor Kim, dear Heavenly Father, and as she is undergoing her procedure, dear Heavenly Father, we ask you, God, to just strengthen her body, to enable her to just get through this procedure. We ask you to be with the doctors, the staff, the equipment, machinery, the hospital itself. Give them traveling mercies, getting back home. And we thank you, God, for even her health insurance that kicked in so that she can have the procedure and she doesn't have that financial concern. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to be with Elder Natisha as she travels back here home. And we ask you, God, to let her feel relieved. Let her feel refreshed and renewed, God, that the time that she's taking, no matter how long or how short, that she would feel like she's gotten the proper amount of rest and now she can begin her journey one more time. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for getting her to the destination. And now we're asking you, God, to just give them safe travel back and find their home the way they meant it. Thank you, dear God, because you just love us in so many ways. whether it's a retreat, whether it's an extra meal, you know, whether it's snack, you just step in. And we just take so much for granted, dear Heavenly Father. And as we listened to the news this morning, we just really, really have to understand how we're just blessed like that. That other countries do not have the things that we have here in the United States. And when we are complaining about the things that are just not right and how the government just doesn't do and how, you know, it can always use an improvement, we want to just take a pause and just say thank you. Through all the complaints, we just want to push all of that on the side and just say thank you. Because there are others who don't have the things we are complaining about. Thank you, God. Oh, some people just hate the government. They hate the government. But we're going to say thank you. Because we know that it's by your allowance that everything is exactly the way it is. You're not unmindful of what we're going through. You're not out of the loop of what we're going through. You are right on top of your game. And we thank you. Because as long as we find ourselves hidden in you, we're not going to feel certain things. We're not going to experience certain things. Things won't affect us the same way. Only because of you and your son. So I pray, God, that right now, whether you're a due time crew member or whether you're a listener, that we all shift gear and just push you at the head, to the head of the table, the way we should have done 25 minutes ago. That right now, it's a new beginning of how we're going to look to you first. We're going to make sure we put you first. You are always going to be at the head of the line. And instead of telling you our plans, we're going to listen for your plans in our lives. So we say thank you. Thank you. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for each and every opportunity you give us to minister or to be a recipient of your ministry. God, we're going to lift Pastor Charlene today. She would be giving us a faith over fear segment, God. And now we are lifting her before you, God. Whatever it is that she needs to be tested for, God, we're just asking you to be with her. Give her that faith over fear right now, that she won't have any worry or care. And we're going to thank you in advance for what you are doing with her health. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for all blessings, great and small, whether we see it, don't see it, acknowledge it. Then, no, we just thank you. And we're just going to ask that you just help us stop complaining and say thank you more. We're going to ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to step up that friendship game in our life. That you have already designed what a true friend, your son has already designed what a true friend is. And there's always improvement we can make. We are never at the top of the game. Never. We always have, even if it's an inch. So let us just evaluate ourselves based on what you have said. And let us reach out and help to teach others to be friends. We thank you, God, for people who don't have literal sisters, biological sisters, but that you've sent sisterhood her way, that she could reap the benefit of having a sister, even though it did not come through the blood. We thank you, God, how you always fill in the gaps. You're always filling in the gaps. Thank you, God, for those who don't have a good relationship with their biological sisters. And you've sent others to help them step their game up, to help them understand what it is that they need to be doing, to help them understand how it is that they need to deal with the sisters that they have. And we ask you, God, to just continue to plant seeds in them, so that they can be an example setter. And they're not always looking you know, for the dysfunction or the deficiency on the other side of the table, but that they can now step up their game. Why? Because you have given us the very best, and you just pull us along. Because even in our deficiency, you accept it, and you just help us to grow. So let us adopt that understanding and that empathy and sympathy for others, that we remember how you have done us, how patient you've been with us, how you've been a friend when you should have walked off. But you maintain that love. And we say thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Ah, sister friend. You know, when you think about, you know, how you've been to others and what you need to do with others and how things just got started, you know, the day you realized, hey, you know, this is what friendship is really about, that you allow God to enhance what you do and who you are. You know, I've always, from a child, I learned the Bible verse, you know, greater love has no man than this, that someone laid down his life for a friend. John 15:13. And that's the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And sometimes, you know, we as sister friends or male friends, however you say it over there, your boys, there's a line that gets drawn, even if it's that invisible line that you don't see. And you're willing to go that extra mile, but, yeah, there's that but. And we're going to just keep in the forefront of our mind what was done on our behalf. How Jesus laid his life down for us, and how the Bible tells us that when we are acting a fool, when we are cutting up, when we're ignoring him, it says don't crucify Jesus all over again. Yes, we put him back up on that cross, and we just inflict those same, you know, pains and, you know, feelings. And to think that Jesus doesn't feel is like crazy. Really crazy to think that, you know, what we do doesn't affect him. He's always before God on our behalf. And when I think, I'm like, in 54 years, how many times has Jesus had to call my name to the Father? Oh, even when I thought I was doing right. Even when I said I wasn't going to do it again. And Jesus was right back. Oh, you remember Stephanie? You know, I know she did it again. Think about, put your name in that slot. Remember me, Mary. Remember me, Joseph. Remember me this. Remember me that. How many times has God had to, or Jesus had to call your name to God and ask God to forgive you? To think that he died on the cross and he still has to ask God to forgive us? Man. And that just, when I think about stuff like that, I'm like, man, Stephanie, you got to step your game up. And I say that without even first trying to pinpoint what it is I'm doing wrong. Immediately when I read those verses, immediately when those verses come back to me, you know, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for a friend. And I think about the sacrifice that Jesus made. The first thing I say to myself is, you got to step your game up. I'm not assessing, well, let me see how to get this done. Automatically, I say to myself, you can always do better. I don't care how great you are. I don't care how much you do. You're still deficient somewhere.
And even at our best, it's still not good enough sometimes. Because, you know, we like to pat ourselves on the back and think, you know, hey, I'm all of that, and I didn't did it like that, and, you know, I'm no. You have to think about the fact that we're just not doing this thing right at times. It just doesn't work like that. Go before the Lord and ask him, hey, God, remember me? What can I do better today? You know, I just can't even think of anything right now. But I'm humble enough to say to you that I know that there is an area where I need improvement. Come on. Every week, Dwayne comes on and he talks techie talk to us. And no matter how much we know about technology, there's always something he's going to eventually bring to the table that we did not know. It's just life. Well, that's the way we need to think about our walk and our relationship with our peers. You know, let me go back and make sure. Let me go back and ask. Have I failed you at one point, or is there an area where I could have done a little better, or is it time when you tried to reach out and I was just a little too busy? Was I looking in his face too much? Was I looking in the books too much? Was I at the job too long and you really needed me? But, yeah, it's worth that question, because it's better to ask and to be told no than to not ask and have a deficiency there. So go before the Lord also and just say, God, show me the things that I need to improve. Because Jesus laid his life down for me. And I don't want to be walking around here thinking I'm all that I'm all good, and I still got some areas that I don't realize. Now, I'm not talking about go to God with your list. No. Not your list. Not I'm perfect in this and I don't do that. And, you know, I didn't stop drinking for, you know, 8 years. So, you know, I'm 8 years clean. And, you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about going before the Lord and doing some fact finding. Let God tell you what you need improvement on. Because, see, we're always at that at least part of life. At least I don't do this, and at least I don't do that. Well, God may need to and want to show us something different. So let's just do that today as well. Let's make that a time, if we don't already do it, and I mean literally saying the words, God, is there something that I'm not realizing that you need to show me, or you've been trying to show me and I still haven't picked up on it? I need you to make me aware of it today and right now, please, so that I can live according to your standards. Okay? Try that one today. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank Lady Tamika, Shantice, and Techie Talk Dwayne for helping me hold it down today. I really couldn't have done it without them, because I don't think y'all want to listen to me talk for 2 hours. So thank you so much. Thank you for hanging out with me today and always being there for me. Remember, we need a Savior, and we need him right now, because later is not promised to us. So accept Jesus in your life right now. Until tomorrow, Therapeutic Thursday. God spares. I'll talk to you then. I love you.